This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free, and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot, so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful-looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Florian Rotberg and Stefan Scheicher of Munich's Invitus Consulting have been active in the digital signage market since 2006, mainly focused on Europe, the Middle East, and Asia. Their work spans everything from straight-up consulting for vendors and end users to organizing and running industry conferences in Europe and globally. That puts them in steady touch with a lot of people and gives them a solid perspective on what's going on and what's changing. One of the things Invitus has been doing in presentations recently is a regular look at the impacts and implications on vertical markets of COVID-19 and what that means for digital signage companies. We talk about that in this new podcast, as well as dig into some suddenly red-hot marketplace requirements like sidewalk displays and access control technologies. All right, Florian and Stefan, thanks for joining me. For those people who are not that familiar with Invitus, I would say more so in North America than certainly in Europe, could you explain what your company does?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having us, by the way. Invitus Consulting, we founded the company in 2006, and we're a digital signage consultancy, strategy consultancy, and we support the industry as well as end users to create the right digital concepts. And beside our consulting work, which is the main work, we also organize conferences. We have a joint venture together with ISE, and we do our digital signage summit conferences around the world, the biggest one being here in Germany every summer. But we do it across the world. And maybe some of your listeners have already participated on them. I'm quite sure, you know, part of Infocom or at ISE or the standalone ones. And we also publish a German portal, so similar to 16and9, just in German. And we're the leading digital signage portal in the German language market.
Yeah, I don't do anything in German, so you got me there.
Well, we're complementing each other.
That's right. How are things looking for the summit in July? Is it still on at the moment?
It's still on for the time being, but it's a challenge, to be honest. We're still waiting for the government, because the government has a new regulation which says that no events or no large events allowed until the end of August, but they haven't defined what large means. And we have 700 people attending, so we're currently in discussion with the government to understand where the limit is. But it's yeah, it's pretty tough times for us, not for us, for everyone on this planet, I assume, in this year. But it's but we still hope to get an answer in the next couple of days.
Yeah, the whole conferences thing in general is it's just nightmarish, and I know, and you know, we've discussed doing virtual work with AVIXA during what would normally be Infocom week, but I think everybody right now is just kind of dabbling with how does this work and look going forward.
It's difficult. It's difficult, to be honest, because we also know now after 6 weeks, we are 6 weeks in lockdown now in Europe over here. And you also get sick of video conferences and webcasts all day and night. So people are quite eager to meet in person again and to do business. Because as great as the technology is, it's always, you know, it's not the most efficient way. I mean, we're busy all day, more busy than ever, but it's not so efficient, you know, because you finish a meeting and then usually you have to hop on the plane and it's much easier to say, okay, how do we continue? And if you do everything virtual, you'll say, oh, let's schedule another meeting and continue the discussion. So for us, that's a lot of work, and not only for us, but I guess for the whole industry. So we're all hoping that eventually, you know, we will wake up to the new normal, whatever the new normal is, and we can start flying again and meet people in person.
That's a nice segue into what I wanted to talk about, or at least the first thing I wanted to talk about is when you're doing presentations for clients, and the recent one that we did for AVIXA on contactless and touch solutions, you started with a set of slides kind of looking at where the industry is at right now and the impact, implications and solutions regarding digital signage in the midst of this pandemic and I guess coming out of it?
Yeah, well, I mean, the general way we are approaching it is really to look at the broader economy, to look at how people are impacted in their personal lives, how business in general is impacted, and then we're trying to understand what does that all mean to the digital signage industry. So just for the current phase, I mean, understanding how people are getting out of the lockdown phase and what it means when we see partial reopening, when we see that restrictions are lifted, people can go out. So they over here, we all have to wear face masks now. We obviously have to do social distancing. And I mean, there's a lot of talk about also technology solutions like apps to keep people at a distance, or if they get infected, that you can trace the contacts very easily. From that personal perspective, you start to think about what does it mean for business. We've just been through this partial reopening this week. So small stores over here in Germany are allowed to open again. That was kind of a big relief for many, many people, because you can go shopping again. If it's only small stores, but you can go out and go shopping again. It's also a big relief for businesses, as they can start to generate revenue again. But on the other hand, that meant a lot of work also for the businesses, because you have to get prepared to reopen. You have to have face masks for all your employees. You have to have signs up. You have to make sure that not too many people enter your store. And from there, I mean, it's a small step for what it means to the digital signage industry, because obviously here digital solutions can help a lot in getting operationally ready for reopening. And that's the general way we try to think about things and do it step by step.
And the impact of all this and the scenarios and actions kind of differ by vertical market, from what I was hearing from Florian the other day, that it could actually be good in certain respects for some sectors, and for other sectors it's going to be problematic for a long time. What did you find?
Yeah, we clustered the vertical markets more or less in four different clusters. And the first one is essentials, grocery, DIY, banking, fashion, lifestyle, but also electronics, department stores, shopping malls. These guys are phase one. So they're more or less opening again now, or we're able to stay open. And their main thing in regards to digital signage is now access control. Obviously, that's the biggest pain point they all have. They need to make sure that not too many people come into the store, as well as contactlessness, because it's probably the word of the year. Everyone looks for contactlessness. So you need to, you need to look for ways how to serve your customers and how to offer whatever experience is left in your store to be as contactless as possible. The second cluster is services and restaurants. That's obviously much, much more difficult. When we look here at Europe, and we are a few weeks maybe ahead of North America, but it's still a long way until they will be able to open. So probably another 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever. It's very difficult, because all the plans, basically say, you need to limit the number of guests in your restaurant, for example, to 30%. You need like a 6 feet space between every guest and everything. And obviously, that makes it very difficult. And also the business case very difficult for these guys. The third one is education, healthcare. Well, on first view, you think, wow, these guys, must be the most potential market. It is. I mean, healthcare, no question about it. But these guys have been busy with many other things than fitting their hospitals with screens. But we have been contacted by them, and they're really eager. Once, the whole thing, come a little bit in the flow, and we're a little further on, then they really need to, retrofit their hospitals with more signage and everything. Because their biggest challenge is to manage the masses, to manage, people in their, and to inform them. And the last cluster is airlines, travel and hospitality. And to be honest, that's quite obvious for them. It's very, very difficult. And when you look at all the numbers, I mean, Delta Airline, they're losing 100 million every single day, 100 million US. So that's unbelievable. Wow. And so hotels and airlines and so forth will be very, very difficult. But we need them. So at the end of the day, they're essential. There must be a solution. The only good thing about airlines and hospitality is that they're quite international, and we see already standards for this industry, and the industry body defined already some standards, you know, how airline travel will be once the restrictions are lifted. And so they're quite standardized, and which also brings potential, but obviously, you know, the willingness or to spend big money is quite limited.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what you first mentioned, access control. What do you mean by that, and how does it manifest itself?
So access control, we have restrictions in terms of the number of people that are allowed into a store. So there's regulation that you can have one person per 20 square meters, so about 200 square feet. As a shop owner, you have to make sure that not too many people enter your store. We see a whole range of different solutions being applied. I mean, the most pragmatic and simple one is just having a security person standing in front of a store and counting people manually. That's a pretty expensive way to do it, because you have to pay this personnel. There are technical solutions as well. It starts basically with a simple people counter, which can be a simple light barrier. A red and green light. So people see, okay, you're allowed into the store or you're not allowed into the store because it's full. You can go all the way up to the spectrum to do very, very advanced sensors that do people counting, like 3D sensors, coupled to a screen where you actually show the total number of people in the store. You can count staff and count customers with this kind of technology. You display on a screen, okay, it's okay for you to go in, or it's not okay for you to go in. You can have these screens in all formats and ways you can imagine. The most popular over here are digital A-frames, because they are very flexible and you can move them around in the entrance area. And that's really kind of a gold rush right now over here for these digital A-frame solutions, because everybody wants one, and especially the big retailers like grocery retailers, they need a couple of thousands of them.
And by A-frames, in North American parlance, they'd probably call them sandwich boards, but basically small displays that you are light enough to wheel out, and they will stand like an easel on the sidewalk or outside a store and provide that information, right?
Yep, exactly. They're really cheesy, you know. The digital signage industry always laughed about these things, you know. They're typically from China, not from a, you know, major brand, but they work. And, you know, they cost only like 2,000. And if you integrate the sensors and everything, so it's around 2,000 to 3,000 on average. And they're easy to install. And the great thing about the digital A-frames is staff is used to them, because they use them as an analog, as a static version already for decades.
Right.
So they know how to roll them out every morning. And for us, that's, regardless of Corona and everything, digital signage is also about ownership. And it's really important that staff, you know, sees the benefit of it. And the A-frame, as simple as it seems, you know, but staff really understands that it helps them. And so they take care of it. They roll it out in the morning, and they make sure that not other products are blocking the view and everything. So that's the reason why A-frames are quite popular. And funny enough, as you know, we're also doing, you know, conference in Latin America and Brazil and everything. Brazil was last year already full with them. When you went to a mall in Brazil, it was full of A-frames, obviously not counting people or so, but it was quite popular there. And everyone said, oh, we just know how it works, and it's simple and it's cheap and it just works. And it's great, because digital signage sometimes is too sophisticated. You know, people want to, you know, connect it too much and everything, but sometimes simple is the best.
Yeah, I often say when I'm doing consulting or just talking to groups that
Yes, you can buy a digital signage solution that can do an amazing array of things, but there's one hell of a lot of use cases. Probably 90% of the time, they only need it to do one thing or a couple of things really well, and the rest of it is kind of extraneous.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Sometimes, and you know, we did some research, and probably 80 to 90% of all screens are still used for basic digital poster purposes. You know, mm-hmm. It's not a funky touch interactive thing. It's just plain digital signage, and it works. It was too expensive 5 to 10 years ago, but nowadays it's cheap and just works, you know, in the form of an A-frame, but obviously also a screen mounted to the wall or just, you know, mounted from the ceiling or so. It works, and that's a good thing about it. We waited a decade for that.
What concerns me, if concerns is maybe the word, but I wonder to make that leap from something that's pulled to outside of the store to say, have a call to action or to tell you that the lunch special is this or that is one thing. It's very simplistic. As you say, they understand how to do that. To introduce dynamic access controls that involve sensors and not only a sensor for people walking up, but you're going to have some sort of a return or a manual signal of some kind that says, enough people left that we can allow more people in. That's more complicated. Are the companies that are asking for this, have they got software solutions or other solutions that are being mashed up with that to make it all work? Or are they buying these things and then having to figure that out themselves?
I mean, the technology for that has been around for quite a while. And I mean, we know 6 or 7 different sensor technologies that can be used for people counting. So it's not a matter of whether this technology is available or not. But as you said, it's a matter of integration. And there, I mean, we see a clear job for systems integrators, because the retailers, the clients, they don't have the time and the resources to think about, okay, we need a screen, we need a sensor, we need some software that's actually does the counting, so some AI stuff, and then we need signage software to actually display it on the screen. That's not something they can do, and it's not something they want to do right now. They really want a package delivered to the store, put it up there, have somebody install the sensor on the ceiling, and this has to be all of that has to be done within 1 hour. So basically, don't interrupt operations and don't bother us with having to deal with the installation and choosing software and all of this.
Right. So if you want to just sell this A-frame as a SKU and just ship it out to people, that's going to be fine for certain audiences, but the real opportunity is for those solution providers and local integrators who will say, yeah, we can get you that, but we'll also put it all together and deliver it. So all we need from you is an hour of your time and electricity.
Dave, I would be even more radical. I think just shipping out a simple A-frame doesn't move the needle. It needs to incorporate the analytics, and you need to position it so you can you know count in and outgoing traffic. Otherwise, it won't work. And to be honest, right, if you don't have something like this, and if you have too many people in your store, you pay hefty fine as a retailer. So it's not something nice to have. It's something which there are regulations in Europe, and we are sure it will also come to North America. You know, you pay 5, 10, 15, 20,000 euros or dollars, whatever, you know, as a fine when too many people are in your store. And it really, and these regulations change from time to time, because the whole Corona thing, this is so what's so difficult about for us to grasp and for the majority of the people. You know, now we are in lockdown, and now slowly it's getting up again, but it will be, you know, an on and off thing. You know, more people will die again, then they will change the regulations, tighten them a little bit again. And this will be all the case for the next 12, 24 months, whatever, you know, when everyone is vaccinated. So that's something we still wait for. So we need that. And digital signage is made for that, for changing regulations, for changing situations, and to show dynamic things. So it needs to be fully integrated. Otherwise, it won't work.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
I think one of the things, particularly in larger footprint facilities, whether that's for shopping or mass transport or whatever, I think there's a big opportunity presenting itself for digital signage technology because, as you just said, things are constantly going to change and there's going to be such a heightened awareness and appetite for information that reinforces that, yes, we're cleaning this space every hour, or we're doing this. Here's what we're doing to keep you safe, keep you healthy, and so on. Here's what we, I mean, so many stores I walk into, there's these god-awful little white grease boards or just stuff scrawled out on a sheet of paper that says, we're out of this, we're out of that, but yes, we have this, we now have this, and so on. And I'm just thinking, good Lord, this needs to be done and presented in a way that's a lot more professional looking, because when brands are talking about consumer experience and even facilities talking about guest experience, when you get down to that level of do-it-yourself signage, it just looks terrible.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's really, from our perspective, the entrance control is just the first point of conversation, because that's a requirement right now, and everybody has to find a solution for that. But as you mentioned, there are other operational challenges throughout the store. It's providing this kind of information that's constantly changing. So use the screens you have, or put in more screens to do that kind of communication in a professional and good-looking manner. But there are also other challenges, like you have to control, in fashion, you have to control access to your fitting rooms. So it's not only entrance door, the entrance door where you have to count, but it's also fitting rooms. You have to make sure that queues in front of your cashiers aren't getting too long. So there are many, many more operational issues that need solutions. So that we see a lot of potential for digital signage firms to provide solutions for that. And entrance control is probably just the first conversation you will have with the retailer, and there are many, many more to follow.
And Dave, what's very frustrating, I think, for the whole industry is for the past 5 to 10 years, everyone tried to create experiences. Retailers, digital signage industry, everyone, we wanted to increase the time people spend in stores or in stations or whatever. And now it's a total opposite. Now the regulations across the world says, make sure that people are as fast as possible out of the store again. So it's the total opposite. So we have to pause the whole experience thing, at least for the next 12 to 18 or 24 months. And it's really about efficiency. It's about how digital signage can support efficient operations in the store.
Yeah, I'm doing a presentation next week for an executive team. And one of the messages I'm going to have for them is any thought that you have around selling your technology based on visual experience and wow factor, just forget it. You want to be entirely focused on what will your technology do to improve and streamline and make operations better and solve problems, just in the same way that meeting room signs, when they bubbled up about 3-4 years ago, just caught on like wildfire because it solved a problem. And the same thing's going to apply here, whether it's front of house or back of house.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you remember what we discussed this week, in our big call about touchscreens and everything. It's also about offering customers a comfortable solution, a comfortable environment, because people are scared nowadays to touch anything in the store. They're scared to go to the store in general. So we need to make sure that they feel as comfortable as possible. So we need to put up signs everywhere, as you mentioned before, this screen has been cleaned, 20 minutes ago. You need to offer some cleaning detergent, all this stuff. So to make sure, that
customers feel as comfortable as possible in this situation. It's anyway weird to walk around with a face mask and everything. And you have to get used to that. But still, that's very important. So digital, it's more important than ever to really inform and make operations more efficient.
How food services, food and beverage works in North America is the same as Europe in certain respects when it comes to things like fine dining and cafes and so on. But for quick service restaurants, drive-throughs are not at all common in Europe, but incredibly common here. And the QSRs in North America, a lot of them are doing okay through all this because they already did 70% of their business through drive-through, and now it's as much as 90% of their business. But how are restaurants going to adjust to the new norm, particularly in Europe and other parts of the world where drive-through is just not a thing?
Well, quick service restaurants, it's quite funny because in the rest of the world, it's totally opposite. So 70 to 80% buy inside the restaurant and only 20% is drive-through because most restaurants don't even offer drive-through. And to be honest, many people just go by foot or by train to the restaurant and not by car. So currently, most of them are open. So McDonald's and KFCs and all of them are open in Europe, but you can only go pick up your stuff and go and leave the store again. So you're not allowed to eat there and not in a vicinity of, I think, 500 meters or so. So people just shouldn't, you know, grab their stuff and then eat in front of the restaurant. So currently it's really just a pickup station, more or less. The challenge there are the kiosk terminals, you know, for ordering your food because they're all touch-based. And and that's what people are, you know, quite reluctant to use currently. So many go back to the old form of ordering, you know, straight to the desk, which doesn't help either because, you know, then you're getting closer to the salespeople. But in general, it's more a takeout business currently. And standard restaurants are still closed. So the only restaurants open are QSR. Mm-hmm.
Looking ahead with some of these scenarios and actions that you talked about, how do you think digital display technology and the software behind it and everything, what are those things that it's going to be doing that can solve problems and kind of improve situations?
Well, that's a difficult one.
maybe I'll take it. There has been that magic triangle of experiences, convenience, and frontline service. That was really key to retail in the past, and all three things will be important again in the future. We talked about experiences, and you won't have a serious discussion about experience right now. We all agree. But it will come back. I mean, in terms of strategic conversations, retailers and brands are thinking about how to reposition their brands, how to represent their brands, and this experience thing will come back. But we see also a fourth theme emerging, and that's contactless. So you, instead of a triangle, you have a rectangle between service, contactless interactions, convenience, and experiences. And you can think of a lot of technology solutions to these four different themes that the digital signage industry should create solutions for.
Yeah, I wonder about contactless, and we talked about this on the Touch webinar the other day, is when you get into things like gesture and voice, it's orders of magnitude more complicated and fraught with potential error. So have you seen much adoption of that to date, and will that change? Because it's great to talk about voice, but particularly in Europe, where you've got so many different languages all kind of flowing through the different countries, or at least normally, yes, you can develop a voice-based system that will work well in Munich, but what happens when a French person comes up to the thing and different regional dialects and everything else? Can it work?
Oh, you would be surprised. I mean, when we talk about Google and then Siri and then Alexa and so, they support dozens of languages. And most European languages are supported. So that's a great thing about the order kiosks, for example. You know, they're multi-language, and especially at airports or so. And the biggest challenge with voice is not so much about recognizing different languages. I mean, the main languages are not a problem. Accents are obviously a big problem, but main languages are okay. The problem is, how do you integrate this into your user and in your experience, in your user interface? And the thing is, when you start, you know, people are not used to speak with a shelf or with a kiosk or so. So you first have to, you know, put stickers, floor stickers on the floor, you know, please speak with our kiosk. You know, we can, you don't have to touch us, you know, speak to us. And then you need a visual feedback. So whatever you say to the system, you need to make sure that you get a visual feedback on the screen. Obviously not through the voice, not through a loudspeaker, but on the screen. So you see, you know, the system is understanding you and that you can interact with the system. So we believe voice and gestures and everything can be just complementing touch, because touch is still the most intuitive way to interact with a machine. And it will be, because we all use our phone. And to be honest, you know, yes, we all tried out Siri, how cool that is. But in public, nobody uses it, you know, because you're afraid of what the whole thing comes back. So at home, it's fine. And you always have Alexa and everything. We all have it at home and it works fine. But that's in your comfort zone. But once you're out there in public space, and that's what Digital Signage is all about, we believe voice is more a form of interaction to communicate from the human being to the machine. And then the feedback is more or less on the display. You can also, if you want to, obviously, you know, get a feedback by voice. But we believe feedback on the screen is more efficient and more natural then.
I would imagine right now as consultants that there are a lot of potential customers out there, both on the end user and the vendor side, who are sitting in their home offices, probably wondering, dear God, what do I do going forward? How will display technology help me in some way? What's that sort of simple message that you can provide to them that says, you know, I always tell people, first thing you need to do is figure out why you want to do this.
Well, Dave, nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I need a display. That's not first on the mind of nobody, you know. A display is just a tool to achieve certain goals. So currently, and to be honest, you know, the whole industry is busier than ever because, you know, so many brands and retailers are currently asking, you know, what can we do, you know, to be successful in the future again. So it's more or less to understand, you know, what the brand, what the retailer really wants to achieve and what are the main stakeholders are. And at the end, we only decide, you know, what kind of technology is most useful for that. So it's not so much about putting screens somewhere, but it's really, you know, supporting the customer journey and supporting the engagement with the brand, whatever the goals of the customers. But that's more important than just the display. This pack can be only a tool, a platform to achieve that.
All right. Great conversation. Thank you very much for spending some time with me.
Oh, good. Thanks for having us.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.